Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text for today's message is today's gospel, where Jesus said to his disciples, "But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." So far the text. Dear friends in Christ, waiting and being vigilant and waiting and being expectant and being patient in doing so are all things that we have to be taught, and we get better usually with time. I think that's why sometimes, at least when I was a kid, the teachers, I think, would give us projects or things to kind of teach us to be patient. One of those was, I was like in the first grade, and everybody in the class got a Dixie cup with some dirt in it, and we plant a lima bean in there and get it wet and put it in the sill of the window and watch it grow. Now, you'd have to take time, right? You'd have to wait day after day after day, and eventually something would pop out, and it would grow a little bit every day. And I remember seeing that, and it almost seemed like magic to me, just a little water, a little light. And so I figured I was going to grow some beans in my house. So I got a Dixie cup. I filled it with dirt, put three beans in there, watered it, put it in the sill of my bedroom where the window was going to, you know, the sun was going to shine on it, and I waited day after day after day. And then weeks, and nothing had happened. And finally got to about a month, and I'm thinking, what is going on here, right? And so I kind of dug up the beans to see what was going on, and it was all mush. See, I'd planted baked beans from a Bush's can, okay? And I just thought that was the same thing. Never occurred to me, and it was just disgusting, and it smelled and everything, but that's kind of the way I think a lot of people in our world think about Jesus' second coming. Now, we're Christians, so we certainly have been preaching it. The church has been preaching it for 2,000 years. So I know the world knows that we're talking about it. The world knows that we expect it to happen. But I think, by and large, the world kind of looks at the promise of Christ's return pretty much like three baked beans in a bunch of dirt. Nothing really is going to come of it that's any good. But again, we're in Christ, so we have a promise, and we have faith in that promise. So the big question for us is, how can we vigilantly wait for our Lord's second coming, and in what way should we do this? Now, how do we do this? How can we do this? Is kind of answered by just looking at the text. We look at this text, and it says, and there's kind of an inconsistency right off the bat here. In 43, it says, "Who then is faithful?" I'm sorry, 43, it says, "But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into." And then he says, "You also need to be ready." See the problem there? Because then he follows by saying, "You also need to be ready because you don't know when he's coming." Okay, so which is it? Do we know he's coming and we are ready, or do we not know? Well, if knowing somebody is going to come at a certain time and knowing when he's going to come helps us be prepared, then I'm guessing not knowing, which is the situation we find ourselves in, doesn't help us at all. In fact, it might just lead to hypervigilance. I mean, if someone told me a thief was going to rob me tomorrow at 1:30 in the morning, I would be ready. My dog would be ready. Nathaniel might if he woke up. I don't know. But we'd be ready, right? We'd know he's coming. But if you'd say to me, well, in 15 years, one of those days you're going to be broken into by a robber. Well, what am I supposed to do? Just stop sleeping the rest of my life? That's not very useful. It's not very helpful. And I think some of the last words Jesus speaks to his disciples before he dies are meant to be helpful for the disciples. So let's look again at this analogy. A thief breaking into a house. Again, we cannot overextend this analogy because, face it, this is a bad thing. Thieves breaking into houses, not a good thing. Jesus' return is a good thing. Jesus is coming to take us home. That's a wonderful thing that we look forward to. So how about this for an analogy? There's a person who's all alone in this world and sees no chance that that's ever going to change. And then someone comes to that person and says, "I know for a fact that someday you're going to meet the right person, and you're going to get married, and you're going to have kids, and you'll have a family, and you'll never be alone again. I don't know when that's going to happen, but I can guarantee you it will happen." Now, until that day comes, that person will be lonely. That doesn't change. But the loneliness does not have the last word. The promise does. Because every morning that person wakes up, still alone, still lonely, but that person can say on this day, maybe that promise will be kept. Maybe today is the day it will come true. That affects the way you wait. I'll give you another example I think everybody would be familiar with. Anybody watch the Beaver game yesterday? Yeah. I watched it up until the time where the Beaver running back, they were like within the 10, ran, and then the guy set the ball back like a yard and a half. At that point, they even reviewed it, and they upheld that. I just had to turn it off. I can't handle that. I get really nervous when things like that happen. They're so dumb. But anyway, I know you watched the Beavers game. Wouldn't you have enjoyed it more if you knew what was going to happen at the end? I walked my dog. I was so frustrated because that just adds to a different frustration. And as I was walking him, there's all these, you know, man caves in the garages, and everybody's watching the Beavers game. I did walk by one garage filled with people in green, and they seemed pretty happy. But walking by all the other garages, there was a lot of salty language being said, okay? Wouldn't they have been happier if I could have just said, hey, they're going to win. I know they're down by 21, but don't worry about it. They'll win. Of course you would have enjoyed the game. If he throws an interception, which I think happened 3 times, the Beaver quarterback, you'd just say, oh, well, you know, that happens. Wouldn't bother you in the least, right? That's what it means to know the ending. And knowing the ending allows us to wait in a different way, not in panic. Now, that's how we can wait. How do we wait? In what way do we wait? Unfortunately, the person who wrote this pericope cut it off at verse 44, because verse 44 says you need to be ready and you need to be waiting. Well, how do we do that? The next couple verses tell us. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant who his master, when he comes, will find him doing so. So right away it says, be ready. Wait for me, and this is how you should wait. And it talks about a guy doing what? Was he putting up a telescope so he could see his Lord's return? No. Was he getting in a pulpit and saying, the end is near, repent or you will die? No. What was he doing? He was feeding people supper. In other words, he was serving people. And that's what we're called to do. To lead an ethical, decent Christian life. Until he comes. Not because we think when he returns we don't want to get caught. Oh, look, I caught Ted doing that. And then it's too late. That's not why. It's because we're filled with joy in knowing that our Savior is coming and why he's coming. That's why. And if you doubt whether living a Christian life is an indicator of whether you believe that the Lord is coming, just look at people who do not believe in that promise, who cut corners ethically, who lie, who deceive, who really their only life is only about themselves, and even if it's not, life is only about today, because there may be no tomorrow. Well, that's not us. We know there is a tomorrow. Now, that is the context within which we find ourselves, exactly the same context in which Noah lived. And yet, what did Noah do? He loved his family, he did his work, building an ark, that's a lot of work, and he told people what was going to happen, even though they didn't believe him. And the church will be in that exact same context of chaos and sin until Jesus does return. And yet we do so joyfully and expectantly. When a woman is pregnant and the young father and mother-to-be, they say that they're expecting, right? And what do they do because they're expecting? Well, they get things ready. They got baby showers, and they go buy stuff, and they put together a nursery. They make sure everything's ready for that child when it comes. Now, they have no idea when that child's going to come, and they certainly don't know the circumstances. I guarantee, from personal experience, the birth of Nathaniel and Hannah was nothing like I expected, let me tell you. Even though we had planned it. It was nothing like I expected. And yet, the young couple expect something wonderful to come into their lives. And they live their lives in joy and hope and preparing for that wonderful day. I pray that the Lord give us that same joy and peace and hope as we wait for our Savior's second coming and as we remember his first coming to set us free from sin. In Jesus' name, amen.